shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
What was that line in Goodwill Hunting? We're having a taster's choice moment for men. Me and Schaefer and Sorrentino were in here having a taster's choice moment for men. We were having a little Hallmark moment talking about hanging out, you know, at home. Like, as I mentioned to you, we bought a new house, and there's a interesting part of this house, and it's a house I can barely afford. And given the fact that I can barely afford the house, that just doesn't end there. They have these cabinets built into, like, where the family room is and where there was an office where you're supposed to stick a 36-inch TV set. And they have three of these throughout the house. So not only can I not afford the house, but now I can't afford the three TV sets that I got to buy to fill up these cabinets, these holes in the walls. Can't afford the house? You'll love the big hole in the wall. You have to stick a big 86-inch radar screen in there, man. You got to stick, like, a satellite dish in there. What if you bought a house with a big satellite dish pad out back? Well, better put a damn satellite dish out there. Got the big concrete pad for it. There's a certain presumptuousness, isn't there, of home builders? You know, well, son of a bitch can afford the house. He might as well afford these three TV sets. And why don't we pour that big concrete pad out back? He can put a helicopter on there. So you not only have the home, Mr. Hendry, you have the three big empty spaces where you can put your 36-inch TVs. That's four of them, by the way. We have the pad, put the satellite dish, and you can land your helicopter right over here, okay? And so you built me a helicopter landing pad. Well, sure, you. What, are you trying to tell me you can't afford one? And buy the house, you can't afford a helicopter? What kind of a cheap creep are you? And then, of course, down here, we have the barranca where you can herd your cattle. I don't have any cattle. Well, what the hell are you buying all this land for? So wait a second. You don't have a helicopter. You ain't got your three 36-inch TV sets. You haven't got a satellite dish to put on a concrete pad we poured for it. And now you have the gall to tell me that you don't have cows to herd? Come on. Everybody here at Diaper Creek has cattle. Welcome to Diaper Creek, 36 head of cattle with every home purchase. Did you ever see Rawhide? Got to get the beeves to Sedalia. I got to get my beeves down out of the barranca and into the garage for the night. I ain't going to fit in, man. Yeah, you're right. I ain't going to fit in. It's going to suck. Everybody's got cattle. Everybody's got beeves. So we're talking about this, and I brought up an interesting thing. I thought it was interesting to me. I don't know ever whether I'm interesting to other people. When I talk, I have no idea whether anybody gives a crap. Honest to God, I just don't. It seemed like, you know, Schaefer, his eyes were open for a while, so it seemed like he was fighting back to sleep to listen to me. And Sorrentino, too, although Tony nods out in the middle of a train wreck, this guy's asleep. Tony could have been on that Egypt Air, man. He'd just be sleeping all the way down. And then they'd find him floating asleep.
Is actually looking to stop this coverage or to have it mitigated in some fashion. The coverage, that is, of John Edwards and Rio Hunter and their affair and the ongoing weirdness that it is. Here is the individual that interviewed this woman for GQ magazine.
How does Johnny, as she refers to him, Riel refers to John Edwards, feel about her doing this interview?
Well, she said he was fine with it, that he thought she should talk if she wanted to. And she also claims that he never told her not to talk to the press.
Why is she talking now?
You know, it's been several years of people defining her. And what was interesting to me when we first started talking was Riel really wanted to to put the whole story out there. She wanted an expansive interview. She kept saying she wanted her words to be her words, unspun, unfiltered. So I think she cared very much about putting her truth out there.
This writer is named Lisa DiPaolo.
But it's interesting because she talks about her unconditional love for him.
She also talks about the relationship in the present.
Yeah,
it's not like that relationship that occurred. It's the relationship that is. So, which raises the question, what is the relationship right now?
I think the short answer is they're together, but I think it depends on how you define together. I don't know that it's a conventional together, but she talks about the fact that she loves him very much.
Yeah, she says, I do know that I will love him, that I love him, right. And love is till death do us part. Though when you ask her if there's going to be a fairy tale ending, right. The response is, I want whatever life brings
me. Right. And when I asked her, do you think you'll live happily ever after with him? She said, I don't know. And I don't think she does know.
All right, so there's the backstory or the front story. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is seeking at least some kind of suppression or gag order of the coverage of John Edwards and Riel Hunter. And Mr. Bozell, good evening.
Good evening.
So, sir, you have, along with your attorney, Dolores Blazingame, in Riverside, California, you're seeking to suppress or gag further coverage because you consider this coverage of Mr. Edwards and his mistress or his now his girlfriend offensive.
That I think covers it. I mean, we consider it offensive to the community, particularly men. We feel that our right to privacy is being abused, that our married lives are being invaded.
What do you mean your right to privacy?
The right to privacy that we're talking about is our right to have our marriages and have our relationships with our wives, who we are faithful to. We're not going out and cheating on our wives. We're living our lives according to, you know, in my belief system, according to the Bible and other men too. And John Edwards, on the other hand, has invaded my privacy. He's a married man who went out and got himself a girlfriend. He knows that he is a well-known man, and so as a well-known man, he's going to have press is going to be covering every move that he makes, and eventually, if he makes a misstep, press is going to be covering that too. He knew that. He knew that if he made a misstep and it got into the press, and these sex tapes, apparently he made a sex tape with her, is going to come out. They're going to be commenting on a sex tape. And the next thing that we're all aware now is, you know, this man, we've been told, a former senator from North Carolina, we know the size of his manhood, you know, how well endowed he is and all this. And now she's talking on GQ magazine about what a great lover he is and everything else. So this is just throwing into the face of every married man, every man who's faithful to his wife. It just throws up into his face what some other married man is doing. And everyone in the world is hearing all about how well endowed he is and how hot he is in bed and all this. And it invades our privacy. It also, I think, makes us look, in the eyes of a lot of people, makes us look like fools to still be with our wives while he's out.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you, Mr. Bozell. When you say it makes you look like a fool, how is that?
Well, I think it makes us look like fools. I know it makes me look like a fool that I'm still with my wife and I'm faithful to her, and I don't know that anyone cares about that. All they care about is how big John Edwards, you know, they've been reporting about that and about his having an affair with this woman. So it seems to me that we've had our privacy invaded. And
again, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I don't think you're very clear when you say that your privacy has been invaded.
Well, my attorney could explain a lot better, but
maybe I should be talking to her about this. Would you rather I do? I mean, just about those areas of this?
No, I can explain it. I just think that I think when I'm comfortable with my wife, my wife is comfortable with me, and suddenly John Edwards is reported in the news as to having well endowed, and that he's great in bed. We already know that John Edwards is attractive to women, and that women out there, including a lot of our wives, are probably think he's very good looking, and and there's probably a lot of women that want to sleep with him now, in addition to the pressure in our marriages of having our wives know how, you know, good looking he is, now they're also finding out that he's endowed and has one, and also that he is hot, and apparently he goes forever and ever more. So this invades our privacy in that it now puts John Edwards in my bedroom.
Really?
In a figurative sense, yes, sir.
Because you feel that all of this reporting about John Edwards, his prowess, his endowment, so on and so forth, is some kind of a pressure on your marriage because the wives and...
Well, yes, sir. And all the women out there, you know, on some level, a lot of women do want to sleep with him. I mean, even married women, they're not going to... They don't think they've got a shot at it, so they'll fantasize about it.
Well, you're saying all married women want to sleep with John Edwards?
I think they think about it, but I know they know that they don't have a shot. They haven't got a prayer, so they will allow themselves. So why must married men have to put up with the added pressure knowing that our wives are now thinking about John Edwards and his big, you know, blankety-blank and how good he is in the sack? That puts pressure on us sexually, okay? And it's an invasion of my privacy.
All right, I think I understand where you're coming from when you say that, when you put it that way, that John Edwards, all of this intimate reporting about him, you're talking about how the wives or the women of America may be attracted to him, and so it puts pressure on you guys as married men because they're thinking John Edwards is fantastic. Let me ask you, also mentioned that you were abused.
I didn't say I was abused.
Well, you said that you feel this reporting is offensive, and that your right to privacy was being abused. I guess that you kind of answered that.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, the news of the sexual exploits of this man is so pervasive that I can't even say. I'll give you an example. I said I'd like to have a gag order, and people were laughing about, you know, the gag order. And then I got it. It's okay, you know, because of how big he is and everything. So you can't even talk about John Edwards and Riel Hunter without it being an enormous amount of pressure on marriages all over this country. Because it humiliates a man about his penis size. It puts through men having to compare themselves to him. And he's a United States senator in bed and everything. It's pressure because our wives read about it, and they already are interested and curious about seeing it, and what's he all about?
All right, Mr. Bozell, so this is a gag order or a suppression of information about the John Edwards affair with Riel Hunter because you feel it humiliates men, it is an invasion of the privacy of men, that it unfairly tempts, would you say, married women?
I don't think it tempts them.
But it makes them compare.
Yeah, I think that married women out there compare their husbands to what they think, what they imagine, how, you know, big, or how big, or I don't know how you want to put it, but how big, huge everything is with him, with John Edwards, yeah. And so, yeah, and I'd say that I think I have the support of all the married men out there. Maybe this could be a class action suit, although I don't want to go that way. Because I think that married men have to put up with the added pressure knowing he's got this big you-know-what.
Well, but then again, there's married men out there that have a big you-know-what, too, you know?
I understand that, but there's also ones that don't, and so I guess I should... Are you saying you do, or...
You know what, sir? That's... I don't want to discuss that, okay? We're talking here with Mr. Stephen Bozell.
I apologize. But that's my point. You don't know it.
All right, no, I understand. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Mr. Stephen Bozell right now. He's looking to have the coverage of John Edwards' affair limited or at least eliminated because this information about Edwards' exploits in the bedroom and his physical attributes is humiliating to men and tempting to the wives and the girlfriends. And an invasion, basically, of their privacy. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
With me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is looking to suppress legally through his attorney some kind of a gag order, suppress coverage of John Edwards and his girlfriend, Riel Hunter. You mentioned that this coverage of their affair is offensive. It's an invasion of marriages, particularly the marriages of particularly the men in the marriages, because they're being comparing themselves to John Edwards and what a stud he is. You also mentioned that the wives are probably curious about John Edwards, which puts more pressure on the men.
Well, I have in the paperwork, Mr. Henry, an incident here. If you look at, it's on page four, under the interrogatives, you'll see there that my wife and I, April, my wife and I were watching a Elizabeth Edwards interview on television one night. It was on CNN. And that later that evening we had sex and everything, and it was very good. And I have told my attorney that my wife was obviously making a connection to John Edwards in having the sex. See,
and wait. You were watching a thing about Elizabeth Edwards.
Yes, sir, that's true. But the connection is readily made. No one cares about Elizabeth Edwards. She's the wife of John Edwards. People are going to care about him. And so my wife is looking at Elizabeth Edwards, but she's thinking about John Edwards.
And you think that's why the two of you had great sex?
I'm saying that I believe that it has polluted the marriages of countless people across this country. And that's why I'm fighting for the rights of men all over America, not just my own, that their wives are now thinking about John Edwards, not as a United States senator or as a father of, you know, five or ten, I don't know how many kids he's got, a lot of kids, but as a guy who is on a sex tape and is, you know, everyone thinks he's so great, and we're just, what, nothing?
Well, I don't know that anybody is actually, you're making the connection, though, that John Edwards and his sexual exploits humiliates the American male.
Absolutely.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line in Los Angeles is Vicki. Vicki, you're on with Stephen Bozell and the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
I just think
this is totally absurd. Like, obviously, Mr. Bozell is completely insecure. And what lawyer in the world would take on such a ridiculous lawsuit? Are you going
to
sue George Clooney and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt for being gorgeous?
I don't think I've heard about
making
no,
your
ma'am,
wife
I haven't heard. No, ma'am, because I haven't heard. No one has reported on the size of their manhood. John Edwards, there's a sex tape showing it and everything, and he was almost president of the United States. I think there's a big difference between a U.S. senator almost becoming president and also having a big, you know, and I don't know how else to put it.
So you're telling me that John
Edwards' penis that is offensive to you that they're reporting on?
The fact that they have to report on it, which is then spread throughout every marriage in the country.
And how could this possibly like have any hold any water at all in the legal system? How could this possibly hold?
From the sense that the continual reporting of this, they have gag orders on reporting all the time. The continual reporting on this is an invasion of every marriage in America, of John Edwards standing in the bedroom while you're making love to your wife.
And look at Steve. When you say that, especially when you said that you and your wife were watching the, was it Elizabeth Edwards?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're watching Elizabeth Edwards, but that your wife would suddenly make the connection between Elizabeth to John, and that's why your lovemaking was good.
Okay. So, in other words, what you're telling me is that that's impossible for a woman to...
Well, we have a woman on the line,
no,
Vicki. If you're looking
impossible.
At an interview with...
It just happens all the time. fantasizes during sex. It's just normal. Like, that's just normal.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Phil, and welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. Had a few technical difficulties there our first half hour. We've ironed them out tonight. Among the things we're going to be talking about is a lingerie-wearing group of 8-year-old girls in a dance competition in, well, I'm not sure where it is. I guess it doesn't really matter where it is. Somewhere, some major American city. A video of a group of young girls, some 8 years of age, performing a racy dance routine to Beyoncé's Single Ladies has caused considerable controversy. What is this? Oh, and also we got coming up some other things for you. Thank you very much, JC. An Arizona official threatens to cut off electricity to L.A. And some other things. We do have Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley on to talk about this particular story. And we also have some comments from a child psychologist. I have to be honest with you. I'll play this for you. Then we'll bring on Ms. Dooley, Bud, in just a minute. But I'll play for you if I can here. You got to see this, man. You have to see this. These are 8-year-old girls. And the parents don't seem to understand. Maybe, in fact, the parents are so clueless that you begin to question your own sanity. I started to ask him, well, geez, maybe she's right. Maybe this is not all that weird, right? How do I see this again, man? Do I got to reboot this thing? So this is the music. And these are little girls wearing frilly brassiere-type tops or frilly tops, frilly panties, and they're wearing those kind of sexy knee socks. And I'm telling you right now, man, this is not just a bunch of cute kids doing some goofy dance. The choreography is really, I would say, you know, at least professionally presented. And the girls are doing these squats. I mean, I'm serious. Like, they're doing moves that you would see in a strip joint. Honest to God, you know, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I have been in one or two strip joints in my life, only, you know, at the suggestion of people that I no longer will be around because of what they said. But here is a psychologist. His name's Dr. Michael Bradley, a child psychologist, talking to ABC's Good Morning America about the sexually provocative video. Now, he's calling it a sexually provocative video. I don't know who wrote that. But that is to say that you're getting excited seeing 8-year-old girls doing stripper moves. And I was looking at it, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to beat up one of the mothers, which is, that's bad, wanting to beat up a woman. I didn't get any good feeling, though. I wasn't getting sexually provoked by the moves. Nonetheless, here is this psychologist, Mr. Bradley, at ABC, Good Morning America, and then we'll... You can't really tell listening to the music, but we'll play the music for you.
As a psychologist, I'm not surprised because we have lots of research that shows how we're hypersexualizing girls at incredibly early ages. As a parent, I was stunned that the parents were asleep at the switch, that they don't even see what's going on there. The sexualization is so pervasive, parents are falling into it as well.
You know, one of the parents said that this was taken out of context. This is actually a dance competition that the girls were in. Do they have a point in that?
Well, laughing. We could take a poll and see what people here think about. You know, it's on the face of it, it's absurd. You know, it obviously is sexually provocative. The sad part is that the parents would think that it was a contextual issue, that it's okay for 8-year-old girls to be taught to move like this.
The doctor said it was sexually provocative. I'm sure that he misspoke or it was attempting, he thought, to provoke a sexual response. But if you're healthy, what you're looking at are these girls that have been manipulated, these little children, manipulated into a kind of presentation that, you, I swear to God, you want to beat the crap out of one of the parents. Now, here, I think, is this lady. Here is one of the parents of the kids.
Are you surprised by all of the criticism you're receiving?
I'm shocked, quite frankly, that people would suggest such things and say such things about 8 and 9-year-old girls.
And when people say this is overly sexualizing your kids, what do you say to them?
I mean, as a father, when you're watching your kid, no. You're looking at it as a proud kid who has really high energy, doesn't really know what she's doing.
And, oh, okay. She doesn't know what she's doing, but you do.
You know, I mean, even parts of the dance, I don't even think we're choreographed to be a certain way. But the kids get excited with the music. They start moving their bodies. You know,
what?
And so, no, I don't look at it that way at all.
So, in other words, the kids just introduced the sex into it, and they didn't choreograph it that way. So it's not your fault, Dad. It's the fault. Oh, wow. All right. Let's get on Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, you heard some of the comments that I made. You're involved in these kinds of dance competitions, are you not?
Well, we are involved in our Springtacular as well as our Summertacular, where we do have these dance presentations. And I did see the video. I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to. I did see the particular video that you're talking about.
All right, so the video of these little girls dancing in this manner.
Yes. And I was not that impressed. I personally, I know that what we do at our different dance competitions is far more polished, much more professional. When I say professional, I mean it is much more professionally presented.
Well, how old are the little girls that you have in your dance competitions, okay, that you have at these? And we call it a Summertacular. What is that?
Well, our Summertacular, this is a celebration of fashion and food and the community that we live in here at Western Estates.
All right, so how old are the girls that are doing these dances?
Well, they're 7, 8, and 9 years of age. But if you're asking me what I thought of that dance, I didn't think it was all that good. I think our girls are very unique.
What I'm trying to find out, Ms. Dooley, is do the girls that are involved in your dance competitions, do they do these sexually provocative moves?
Oh, I would say that we've got a few. We have a very interesting and I think very exciting presentation. The girls that I work with, and for girls their age, 6, 7 years of age, they really are instinctive.
All right, before you keep going, Ms. Dooley, I have to ask you something. Are you aware of the fact that there are people upset with the sexualization of these children?
The gentleman who wanted me to come on your program was talking about our Summertacular. I'm not sure I know.
What are you talking about, my wife?
Well, who's that, your husband?
Yes.
Sir, what we're talking about is that there has been criticism of these dance competitions for 6 and 7-year-old girls because the girls are sexualized. They're sexualized. They're doing sexual moves.
In what sense?
Let's talk about a little girl. What do you mean?
In the sense that I was just watching this, this video.
Well, I saw the video film.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do is, if you have the video in front of you, let's roll it. And you can comment on what it is you're seeing, and you tell me if you find this appropriate.
Well, again, I did see it. This is from a competition back east, I think. These girls are not as good as our girls, if that's what you're asking me.
No, I'm not asking you whether they're as good as your girls or not, Ms. Dooley. I'm asking you, do you think that this is appropriate to have 8-year-old girls dancing this way? So let's just go ahead and roll this, and our audience will hear the music. They won't see it, but you can comment.
Okay, she's doing a standard. They're doing splits. They're doing standard splits. Now the girls are coming out and lifting their... I love that move. They're really shaking their little bottom. And that's a spread, okay, full spread. Now they're doing a hip. And all right. Now they'll do a squat, spread. They spread it.
All right, Ms. Dooley, are you listening to what you're saying?
Now they're doing, I'm sorry?
Are you listening to what you're saying?
Hold on a minute. Spin. These are all very standard moves, Phil. I don't know what it is you are asking me, other than I can tell you, our girls do these moves, and I think a lot better. Now, here is a girl. Okay, she's doing a shake. Shake. All right. And, okay. Junk in the trunk. Junk in the trunk. Spin. Spread it. Spread.
Okay, hold on. Just turn that off for a minute. Are you listening to what you're saying?
I don't understand, Mr. Henry.
My wife listened to that.
Mr. Dooley, I'm talking to your wife right now. Is she hearing what she's saying?
What do you mean?
Well, what are you talking about?
You're going spread, spread.
Yes, those are the moves.
They're eight-year-old girls, Ms. Dooley, and I'm asking you, are these moves that you find appropriate, and are they moves that you have your girls do?
My understanding was that I was brought on your program tonight to discuss these gingerbread competitions. Look, I'm looking at the moves right now. They're doing a squat. It's another squat.
And all right, so eight-year-old girls are supposed to do squats?
If what you're saying is that this is inappropriate for eight-year-old girls, that was not why I was brought on this program.
But what is this damn with journalism?
Mr. Dooley, I can't talk to you, sir. I can't talk to you in the background. I have to talk to your wife. And, Ms. Dooley, I'm not doing any ambush journalism.
Well, my understanding was I was being brought on the program to talk about the dance competition. Are you asking me, is it inappropriate for these girls to be dancing this way?
Ms. Dooley, yes. That's what I've been asking you for 20 minutes. I've been asking you...
I thought you wanted me to come on and describe the moves and tell you what it is that we do that might be different, because we really do feel that if these moves are executed properly... they are stylish. It is artistic.
Yeah, but when you're talking about eight-year-old girls doing moves that you call... What is a full spread?
Well, the full spread, see, you...
full spread, let me spread it out.
Yeah, the full spread is a spread out.
What does that mean exactly?
Well,
you know that?
Use your imagination.
All right, so in other words, I use my imagination with an 8-year-old, 9-year-old.
Well, in some instances, they're 6. We have girls that are very talented.
All right, so you don't see how inappropriate it is for a 6, 7, 8, or 9-year-old girl to be doing a move that you say is a full spread.
It's a spread, Phil, in the sense of a dance spread.
We're not talking about 6. It's spread out.
It's a spread out.
All right, and then I heard you do splits. Split, when you repeat the word, what does that mean?
Well, that means they're doing the move over and over again. So they were doing split, 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 junk in the trunk, junk in the trunk.
What is junk in the trunk?
That is a phrase used when they push their derriere back toward the audience and wiggle it, and then hook a thumb in the panty, but it is not... what you think it is.
They hook a thumb in the panty and do what?
So I'm not going to be interrogated.
No, I'm just asking you. Junk in the trunk is when these little girls shake their booty or their derriere, as you say, at the audience, derriere, and they hook a thumb in their panties.
They hook a thumb. The point is, it's an artistic move.
And they're going to hook the thumb.
Mr. Dooley, I don't want to say this again. I can't talk to you, okay? I can only talk to your wife. I can't hear you.
Steve, I've got it, okay? I'm on it. They hook the thumb in the panty and do what we call a peel out. That's a word that is often used in motorsports. When you peel out, you're spinning rubber. In our dance competition for our gingerbread girls, they hook a thumb in the panty and roll the panty down.
Roll the panty... All right, ma'am, do you have daughters?
I have 3 sons.
All right, you don't hear in my voice or in the voices of some people outrage or anger or even incredulity at looking at this.
Well, I think what you're saying is that what we would do is ask these little girls to do anything that was sexually perverse or injurious to them. And you know something, Phil? I don't even want to dignify that with a response. I am a mother. I am the president of our PTO.
All right, Ms. Dooley, I believe all of that. But I'm looking at a video here, and you say that your girls at your dance competitions are, quote, better than these ones.
Well, they are in the sense that they execute, for instance, the full spread. They do it with all 12. And we do it as a, almost like a gymnastic move. So there's the full spread.
All right, I don't want the what it is, but you're telling me that there's not a problem at all.
A problem with what?
A problem, Mr. Dooley.
Steve, I'm on it.
A problem with these little girls executing these moves.
I am a mother, and the furthest thing from my mind would be to injure any child. The spread out is more of a gymnastic move.
And junk in the trunk?
That is a cute...
And what do you call the peel out?
It's cute. It is not what you think. And I heard one of the women say, it's out, it's in context, or it's out of context. And I agree with that. It's really way, way out of context.
Out of context,
all right, I'm going to take a break here. And Ms. Dooley, I have to have Mr. Dooley to be quiet.
Steve, I'm all over it.
877-876-PHIL is our number. We're going to go into the next hour with this. We had some technical difficulties starting the program. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley about this this dance competition involving 8-year-old girls wearing lingerie and dancing, and it says here racy routines. I can assure you these are not just racy, but they're moves you see in strip clubs, man. They're moves you see in, like, the Pink Lady Lounge. I mean, honest to God, these are moves that you see adult women do for very big tips, and they're being displayed by children. In something called The World of Dance, a large urban dance competition. In fact, it's filmed at America's, quote, largest urban dance competition. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley talking about these kids and their dancing and also the summer tacular they're having there at the world-famous Western Estates Homeowners Association. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line. You are having a meeting this evening, Ms. Dooley, of your steering committee, right?
Yes. Of
Summer Tacular?
We are, yes. And we, every year, plan our gingerbread dance.
Now, so people know the gingerbread dance is a dance that you have with these 6-, 7-, 8-year-old girls who do these dance steps and these dance moves, such as the ones that we were talking about in this video. And for people that are just joining us, it is called the World of Dance Urban Dance Competition, showing girls in revealing red and black lingerie outfits doing these call them sexualized moves. I wouldn't call them provocative.
So, if I could interrupt you, there's an awful lot of talk about sexualized moves. You see these moves in athletics. You see these moves in, in football. You're going to see in football any contact sport where the players, I don't know a lot about it, but they are going to tackle each other, and they're going to be laying, parts of their body on the other person's face or nose, and no one says anything about that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I've watched football my whole life, and maybe sometimes that happens, but these are little girls, you see.
You've said that, but I have to say something.
These are little girls that are doing these moves that look sexualized. I mean, again, I could play the music, and if you want to describe these moves so that people know what it is we're talking about, you can. And you yourself said, well, it's a spread, it's a spread. I mean, here it is again, right?
All right, okay. Here come the girls. I jumped in the trunk, and this is the tail gunner. This is what we call the tail gunner.
What is the tail gunner? I'm looking at a girl swinging her rear end around.
Right, she is swinging her little derriere around, and the other girls are pointing at it in time to the music.
And what is the purpose of that?
It is a visual move, Phil. There is no real, we're not talking about Isadora Duncan here.
No, I know that, but you say the little girl was swinging her rear end around, and the other ones are pointing to it.
Yes, that is called the tail gunner. And, okay, I love this move here. Spread out. Spread. Full spread. Quarter spread. Full spread. Now, I will say that's a great move right there. That is a 360-degree spin, junk in the trunk. Okay.
Okay, all right. We can turn this music off.
Well, when you turn the music down, you make it appear as if there's something inappropriate going on. I really have to question the parents and yourself, Mr. Hendry, and people like you who keep referring to how sexualized this is. Are you getting a thrill out of it? I don't think you are. But then why are you bringing it up?
That has nothing to do with it. Well, you know what? We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley about these kids dancing. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.